Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. It's that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer, 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. Let us know what's on your heart today, and we will lift it up before the Lord on the Prayer Closet. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this time we can be here. It's time to lift up our needs before you, to know that you are a good and faithful and gracious God who loves us and cares for us and is always ready for us, who provides for our every need, and that in you we can find hope in every situation. So we thank you, we praise you, we give you all glory, and pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Once again, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so don't let that hinder you or keep you from getting the prayer that you need. Just let us know what that need is. And we can, you know, God knows who you are. That's what matters. You don't even have to tell us who you are when you call or text in. 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayer requests, we always like to get into the Word of God to give ourselves some just spiritual direction, get our hearts settled and ready for prayer. And today we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, working our way through the Sermon on the Mount. And where it talks about how to live as God's kingdom people in this world. That's really what the Sermon on the Mount is about, that we have been invited into God's kingdom. And now how do we live in that kingdom? And so he begins with Beatitudes, which is really the invitation into the kingdom, the warning that we'll face persecution and challenging us to use our saltiness or hide our light because of that, but to continue to be bold. Talk about how his work is the fulfillment of the law, that he's not nullifying what God did before, but rather fulfilling it in himself. And that leads us up to verse 21, where now he's going to start taking some of the commandments. He doesn't take all 10, but he's going to take some of it, the commandments and some of the teachings of the law, and he's going to illuminate them and deepen them. Now, notice he's not getting rid of these things. He's not saying these things no longer apply, right? I got rid of the law, it doesn't count anymore. No, he's not saying that. He actually is making them harder. He's showing us what the law was supposed to do, but failed to do. And it didn't fail because of the law was inadequate, it failed because of us. But the law showed us that we were sinners. We were incapable of living up to God's holy standard. Why were we incapable? And is Jesus illuminates these things. He's going to show us why, because of what's in our hearts. Verse 21, he says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder,' and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, 'Raca,' is answerable to the Sanhedrin, but anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fires of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." So he begins here. By challenging us. The command, not murder. Well, we got most of us can sit there and say, well, I've never killed anybody. That's an easy one. That's an easy command to keep. I'm fine there. No problems there. No problem. But then Jesus takes it a step further. Says, okay, have you been angry with your brother? Well, that's not the same as murder. Come on, Jesus. Sure, I've been angry, but I've never killed anybody. It says it's the same thing. You're facing the same judgment. You will also be subject to judgment.
Well, that's not fair because, I mean, murdering someone is so much different than just being angry at them.
Really, where do you think murder comes from? It comes from our heart. And as we go through these things, we're going to see this. Jesus keeps taking these things back to the attitude in our heart. What precipitates murder? Our anger or hatred for another person? You look at murders in this country, the majority of murders are done by people who know the other person. They aren't random acts of violence. I mean, sometimes that happens, obviously, but the vast majority of murders are done by people who know the other person. Sometimes it's a spouse. Sometimes it's a friend. Sometimes it's, you know, maybe it's an enemy, but there's a relationship there. But something gone wrong. There's anger, there's hate in the heart that wells up in that person and causes them to commit this heinous act of murder. What could cause a person to do that? You know, it begins in the heart, and that's what Jesus is trying to show us. All these actions, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not lie, all this stuff, it all begins in the heart. Our hearts are corrupted. And when you let your heart become corrupted by murder, sorry about that, become corrupted by anger, that eventually that's going to lead out. What's in our heart, that's what's going to lead out into our actions. Ultimately, our actions will be in our heart. We may be able to hide it for a little while, but in the end, what we do, the actions we take, reflect our reflection, for good or bad, is in our heart. And so he tells us, verse 23, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there's a brother, you remember that your brother, notice what he says, not that you have something against your brother, but your brother has something against you. They're angry at you. Now that you're angry at them for what they did, they're angry at you. You say, well, that's their problem. I didn't do anything. Well, that's not what Jesus says. He says, you remember your brother has something against you? Leave your gift at the altar and go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come back and offer your gift. Because in truth, your act of making things right with your brother, whether you think he's right or not, well, I don't think he has any reason to be angry with me. That doesn't matter. Jesus doesn't say he has something legitimately against you. He just says that he has something against you. Maybe it's legitimate, maybe it's not. Doesn't matter. Go and be reconciled. Work it out. Figure it out. Because you know what? That's your real gift to God. Not that gift, not that dove or that, you know, animal that you're going to sacrifice there on the altar. That's not your gift. Maybe your religious requirement, but it's not your gift. You know what your gift to God is? Being reconciled to your brother. That's your real gift to God. Settle matters quickly. Don't let them fester. Don't let them grow. Because when we let them grow, they become big and bigger than they ever were meant to be. And at the end of the day, you know, they can just ruin relationships. I remember one time there was a situation where someone we knew and were friends with, I'm good friends with, and thought we were good friends with them. And suddenly they just kind of get a little cold to us, not as friendly, not as open. You know, we're kind of wondering what's going on and why they kind of changed a little bit. And my friend and I would talk about it and say, I don't know what's happening there. And I think we tried to mention it a couple times. Nothing really came of it. And, you know, we did not pursue it like we should have, honestly. I'll confess that. We should have been more proactive in saying, hey, what's going on here? But finally, it just boiled over. And you know, it just, it got really bad. And so finally my wife went and talked to this lady and found out that something that had happened like 6 months prior, you know, a fairly innocent thing that was certainly was not intended to offend, but it ended up offending them, something that had been said, they took offense at. We did not even know. What was said seemed fairly innocent to us. Obviously, it was not innocent to them. And it just grew and festered and festered and until they just became consumed with anger over this thing. And so finally, my wife went and they were able to tell her what. And she apologized for it and stuff. But honestly, the relationship was never the same. And eventually, it just broke off completely. And because it was just an anger was allowed to fester. Instead of settling matters quickly, things were allowed to fester. And I confess, you know, our part, and we didn't do enough to settle it quickly either. We're not blameless in this. But because it, neither side took the initiative to deal with that quickly, you know, our relationship was ruined. You know, that's what can happen when we don't deal with these things. And so Jesus says, settle matters with your adversary quickly. He used the illustration of someone taking you to court. He says, take it to court because you might lose. And next thing you know, you're in prison. You aren't getting out till you pay every penny. Settle it first. Don't leave it to that. Make things right. Because when we allow anger to fester, allow it to show in our lives. And he uses the illustration of, you know, and it says, rock is answerable to Sanhedrin. Anybody says, you fools, in danger of the fires of hell. Rock would be saying, like, yo, you're empty-headed. You fool was a term of contempt for the other person. We allow those things to fester and to grow and to build. That's where murder comes from. That's where hate comes from. It comes from our heart. If we're going to be kingdom people, we need to be kingdom people, not in our actions. We need to be kingdom people in our hearts. Because if we're kingdom people in our hearts, guess what? Our actions will follow. We will do the right things. We will behave in the way we're supposed to. And we had a listener texting in asking for prayer. My mom and I were in a head-on collision last night in Tennessee. I am okay, only contusions, but my mom is waiting for surgery space to open up to operate on her left femur. Lord, we do lift this listener up to you and pray for them as they had this collision. First of all, we thank you for the protection that you did, that both are still alive, and we know this could have been much, much worse, so we do thank you for your protection over them. Thank you that our listener was not badly hurt, but we do pray for her mom, who obviously suffered severe injuries, and Lord, pray for this surgery on her femur. Pray that they are able to get that corrected and fixed. Pray that you would ease any pain that she is in, and that they would be able to get her legs straightened and she would heal quickly and fully from this accident. And Lord, we just pray your and healing over both of them. And pray this in your name. Amen. And another listener writing in saying, my wife and I are home because of COVID and we need a spiritual breakthrough. Lots of people sick, finances are hurting, need God's grace and favor on our jobs. Lord, we do pray for this couple as they're both the home quarantined with COVID. We pray, first of all, for your provision for them during this time, that you would provide for them in terms of their finances and all their material needs. But also, Lord, for their healing, we pray that you would watch over their health, that they would not be sick because of the COVID, that they would not have it seriously, that these would be very mild cases. They would recover from them, be able to quickly return to work. Lord, we pray for that spiritual breakthrough that they're looking, that you would use this time of quarantine to be a time where they are able to sit with you and reflect with you and have that spiritual breakthrough that they are seeking and desiring. That in this time off from the other distractions of life, you'll be able to speak into their lives. And then, Lord, they would experience that breakthrough and that renewal and revival in their hearts that you desire to bring. And we pray this in your name. Amen. And another listener simply asking for prayer for their wife. She's not feeling good today. Lord, we pray for this listener's wife and lift her up to you. Pray that there be healing upon her. She's under the weather today. We pray that she would just make a quick and full recovery, that she would be strengthened and healed by your hand. And Lord, that even today, even now, she would just begin to right now to feel better as your healing work begins in her life. And we pray this in your name. Amen. And we also want to pray for our school prayer focus this week is Lima City Schools. And let's lift them up. Lord, we do pray for Lima City Schools. We pray your protection over their meeting. Lord, we pray for the students, the teachers, the administrators, the staff, Lord, for all involved, that they would be safe, be healthy. We pray that there would not be any kind of spread of COVID through there. Lord, that they would take the necessary precautions and that they would be able to keep meeting. We pray for the students as they continue to learn under difficult situations. Difficult for the students, difficult for the teachers. It's not an ideal situation in any way. But Lord, we pray that you would help them work through those challenges and that they would still get that education that they need, empower those teachers, encourage them as they're doing their job under difficult circumstances, aid those students in learning. And Lord, we pray that just a spirit, your spirit, you would raise up your people in that place. Through the staff, the administration, the students, those who know you, you would raise them up, Lord, to be light and salt in that place. And then, Lord, that in these times of stress and trial, that they might be that light that brings hope and peace. I pray this in your name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to the Prayer Closet. Remember, if you ever have a prayer request, you can always get that to us by emailing or texting to prayer@yeshome.com. You can call our office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 419-389-0893. Or you can go online to our website, yeshome.com. Click on the chat now button. Get connected to a live online spiritual coach for a live online chat session. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. This has been the Prayer Closet. God bless everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you tomorrow.